my conversion began when I became aware that we are the body of Christ. And that happened to me in 1949 at Catholic University. And when I was studying there with a group of seminarians, and we read Mystici Corporis, the mystical body of Christ. And in this deep awareness that I am Christ, He is the head, and each of us are members of the body, but that Christ's life, because of baptism, goes on in each member of the body. And each of us need one another as we form this body in Christ, and He is our head, and we are members. And He, our head, has suffered and died and risen. That suffering, death, and resurrection in time was in the year 33. That same mystery, because and through the body of Christ, was carried out in the mystical body in the first century through the apostles and the church that was created through baptism, which came forth from His side. So the union of Christ with His body was so intimate. And this intimacy was not only in the first century, but it is also in the 21st. Well, in the 20th century, there is this phenomenon of Padre Pio. So in 1959, I met Padre Pio, and I was in San Giovanni Rotondo with another priest. And we went to the home of Mary Pyle, where we were invited to dinner by Mary Pyle, and Padre Pio's nephew was there. And while we were having dinner, it was my meeting with Padre Pio. The meeting was one of those life moments that you never forget, and the longer you remember it, the more it has an impact. And in that meeting, the first thing he challenged me with was, "Are you a curiosity seeker?" And I remember my response to him was, "No, Padre Pio, I didn't come here out of curiosity. I simply don't understand why you have the wounds of our Lord," because I knew he had the stigmata. I said, "I am also a priest, and I am, when I offer the Mass, one with Christ, so that my body is Christ's body, and that I, in my Mass, pray the Eucharistic prayer, just like you do, and I remember in this discussion, when I say, 'This is my body,' to as I consecrate the bread and the wine, 'This is my blood,' my body is His body, and His body's my body. I don't understand why you need to have the stigmata." Well, we actually had, at that time, a beautiful discussion, and it lasted, I would say, about 20 minutes. When he left, then Mary Pyle, I said to Mary Pyle, "Does he come here this often?" And then was the first time I realized, because I did not know, he bilocates. And that's what she told me he did. And that he specifically came because he wanted to talk to me. Well, that astounded me. And, you know, and it does even impact me more as I've gone on in my life, the relationship that I have with him. That night, Mary Pyle had a place for us to stay. We got up about 2 o'clock in that morning, next morning, and we went to the monastery where he was going to have Mass. Well, it was there that I received my answer. I didn't really get it in the discussion with him. But he came over to me before Mass, and he looked very angry. We were all in the sacristy because we had to go, and in those days we didn't have concelebration, so I had a lineup to get a place where I could offer Mass, and there were hundreds there, so that you take your turn at a side altar. I signed up for an altar where I wanted to have Mass after Padre Pio had his Mass. His Mass was 3 o'clock in the morning. So that as I was doing this, he came over to me in the sacristy. And we were all kneeling, but he stood right over me again for the longest time. And it was interminably long. And he looked very angrily at me. And finally, when he and I just looked at each other, and I didn't realize this then, but and I was told later, and I read that he could read souls. And he was piercing into my heart, into my eyes, looking deeply into me, and I into him. We were just looking at each other. He went over, finished his preparation for Mass at a kneeler, and came back over to me. This time he was smiling. He took off his glove, and this is the first time I was seeing his wound, and it looked like a blister. It was about the size of a half dollar. And it was really a hole in his hand. Because I could actually I did see light through the wound from the other side as he blessed me. And when he put his hands on my head, I felt so blessed. I had received a blessing that I feel has lasted me through all my years. And then he went to the altar, and then I got the answer as I watched him offer Mass. The experience, I'm sure thousands and thousands have been present at his celebration. But at the Liturgy of the Word, there was just the reading, the quiet reading, the reflective presence of a majestic presence of God. And then at the Eucharist, the blood began to pour from his hands, and the blood was pouring from his feet. People actually, after Mass, were taking cotton and taking the drops that came from his feet. And certainly they were powerful relics of the blood of Padre Pio that fell right on the floor of where he was offering Mass. And then at the beginning of seeing the stains of the blood as it flowed from his side, here was Jesus. Yes, I am Christ in my Mass. But God brought before us Padre Pio every time he offered Mass. There was Jesus. This day I was at Calvary. If there was a necessity in me to see who I am, and every priest who offers Mass that day, he gave his body for me to see. The contemplative look in his face, the ecstasy, the union with God. Padre Pio's Mass. People have said that they experience Christ when I offer Mass. What does Padre Pio teach us with the wounds? You know, why did God give him this? There was a whole period, some know it and some don't, where he had the same pain of the wounds in his body, but there was no open wounds. But he had the pains that God inflicted on Padre Pio's body, in his hands, the wounds of the nails, and in his feet, the pain of the nails, and in his side, that same pain of the thrust of the spear that poured forth the blood. He actually had the pain of that in his body. When the stigmata appeared, the stigmata is, for him, was the will of God. For me, and for every baptized Christian, we have the opportunity to unite our sufferings with his. God wants you and me and every baptized Christian to be healthy in his body. but every one of us have an opportunity to unite my sufferings with his. What makes my union with Christ his? The Paschal mystery, Jesus suffering and dying and rising, is imprinted in every baptized Christian, so that when you had your broken leg, when you had that pain in your body, that is his pain in you. He suffers in you. You and he are one. Your physical ailments, my physical ailments, what I suffer in my body, and I think this is so important, that Padre Pio, in relationship to the mystical body, the body of Christ, is like an example that God wanted to give us of what each of us can do with our pain and with our suffering. In these days, that has so little or no value for suffering. We have no value. When I suffer, if I have a headache, if I have a pain, or whatever I have, the first thing that I want to do is get relief. Uh-huh. If I have a stomach ache, Rolaids. How do you spell relief? And so you really have to get rid of all suffering. And when my wife is suffering, it's better to kill her than to let her suffer. Suffering has no meaning at all. And here was this man of God who was giving us the reflection of Jesus Christ, who redeemed us through his suffering and his dying and his rising. So that the relationship that I see that Padre Pio has, the relationship is his pain and suffering and dying. He died, and he had that final suffering in 1968, and he died. Actually, when he died, the wounds disappeared. Unlike Jesus Christ, when Jesus rose from the dead, his wounds weren't gone. They remained, and they were the open wounds that Jesus invited Thomas to probe. Here, put your finger here. See the wound. And we had, in our day, someone like Padre Pio, who was showing us, Jesus through him, showing us the wounds. Come here, Thomas. Put your hand in my side. And so we were able, every day, through his Mass, to see the union that he had in the body with Jesus Christ, but also through inspiration for each of us to unite our sufferings with his. I remember one time I had an eye operation, and my eye was so pained, and I was really asking God. In fact, it was during the rosary. I was praying the rosary, and I was doing the mystery of the crowning of thorns. And I remember where I was exactly, because the pain was so great. And I said, Mary, ask God, intercede with God for me to get rid of this pain in my eye. And she reminded me of one of the mystics who, when Jesus was crowned with thorns, one of the thorns of the crown went into his eye. And she said, he's allowing you to suffer that from his crowning. And then it made so much more sense to me that what I was doing at that time in my body was suffering the crowning of thorns. There was that experience that I had on August the 15th in my plane crash in 1969. The plane crashed at noon, and my pain was so extreme until 3 o'clock, when I was able to get my first shot when I was in the hospital. And the people who saw me said, I looked like I had a crown of thorns. and somebody came and gave me a drink of something. I was so thirsty on the desert floor that day in the wrecked plane, and it was bitter, and I spit it out. The incidence of the pain that day that I had in my shoulder, and I still have the damage in that to that shoulder, so I don't have full use of it even till today. The worst pain that Jesus had in the carrying of the cross was when he carried the cross on his shoulder. And that was the deepest wound that is very seldom attended to or looked at, that each of us has in his or her body a suffering. When you suffer your arthritic pain, when you suffer your cancer, when you suffer whatever suffering you do, it's united with him. His body is your body. And you can actually take every suffering, every pain, every anguish that you have, mental, emotional, spiritual, physical, and unite that with Jesus each and every day, so that our sufferings and our dying and our rising each and every day can be united with Jesus, suffering, dying, and rising, because your body and my body is his body. And so in the mystical body, the suffering of Jesus on the cross was likened to, as I see the theology of the body teaching, the expression of the love of God for mankind is the crucifixion and death of Jesus on the cross. When I go through love for God that's so deep in me that I can say to God, in my pain, whatever that pain might be, I love you, God, with my body. I give myself to you through, in, and with my pain. And the greater the suffering, the more the love. The deeper the love, the greater the suffering. My way of telling God my deepest love. And so on the deepest love of intimacy of God and me is when through, in, and with love, I give to God all my suffering, all my pain, and especially my dying. In my daily suffering, I tell God every day, especially those of you who are in hospice, those of you who are dying. The dying can be your greatest moment of life, that you give him these hours, this day, these days of suffering and dying, because as you close your eyes in death with him and through him and in him in love, you will open them to eternal life. You and God are the most intimate now that you've ever been in your whole life. Suffering and dying in Christ is the most intimate union that you have with the divine. And so all spiritual writers have seen Christ's suffering and death on the cross for humankind. That the spouse of Jesus came forth from the heart of Jesus when the water came forth that united us with him as his bride. And that's what St. Paul was talking about. He bathed her in the water as he cleansed her in the water, so that she was without blemish and without wrinkle and without stain. The beautiful bride of Jesus Christ, the church, came forth from his side, and he had intimate union with her on the cross. That was the gist of my article, and I really believe that Padre Pio, for us, can be one of the deepest expressions of divine love and intimacy with God.
Monsignor, just a quick question. With Padre Pio, his body suffered attacks from the evil one. And do we not also suffer in those attacks, but maybe not quite as blatantly as Padre Pio? It's more subtle with all the temptations of the world, with pornography and humiliation, so many other aspects of that.
Jesus, we know the supreme attack came at Jesus when he inaugurated his public life. He was driven into the desert in the fourth chapter of Matthew by the Holy Spirit, where he was tempted by the devil, and he overcame, you know, by further demons that he drove out. But all the demons were right there on Calvary. Every demon in hell was present in order to attack him. All hell broke loose on Calvary. And what kind of attack did Padre Pio have, or John Vianney, from the devil in comparison to what happened to him on the cross, Anthony of the desert, and the different ones who have been attacked by Satan? And so the Father allowed Satan to attack Jesus in his body and in the garden, in his soul. He came under every attack that Satan had, and he overcame them. And so the cross is the triumph of Jesus over Satan, and no matter what attack he gave on him. And so the devil was going to, as in the 12th chapter of Revelations, wants to attack this child of God, this Jesus, but he can't. He couldn't in any way, but he does come against his body, the people of God, the offspring. And all of us are really constantly under attack. We are. Some physically, but all of us with temptation. That's why when Jesus gave us the Our Father, he led us to be aware. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Good question. And it's the attacks that came upon him were from hell and from every human force in this world, and he was triumphant.
Any final thoughts on this particular teaching, Monsignor?
I think I would just like to present to you the image of Padre Pio with his wounds bleeding, and have you see that the crucifix and Padre Pio are so powerfully reflective of what he was when he had Mass. And so when you assist at Mass today, that you look at the crucifix and that you image Padre Pio, and that during Mass today, you unite whatever you're suffering, that the interior union that you will have, Jesus talks about the inside that has to be transformed, not to just look at the external, the outside of the cup, but the inside. And so the inside of your chalice is your heart. And there you have your sufferings that are physical. You have your emotional sufferings. You know, the suffering you have over a wayward son, an alcoholic husband, that emotional pain that's in you, that the death of your father, whatever that might be, unite that with Jesus. And we have the mental and the spiritual sufferings. Unite all of your pain, anguish with Jesus. Each of us today has such a wonderful opportunity at Mass, to at the consecration, to be one with Christ in your body, so that your sufferings now become his, and he will live in you. and you will be glorious and victorious in your suffering.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Let that be.
And I think the beautiful blessing, did you ever notice that when you are blessed, it's with the sign of the cross in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Monsignor.
You're welcome. God bless you. Have a beautiful day, Chris.